here we are, worldwide live through BBS Radio Online. Thank you so much, BBS, for making this possible. This is, as usual, a simulcast for the conference call, the Monday evening call, and I know the topic, not very hard. I have to check for it. We have a bunch of people on the phone line. Every time you hear a ding, there's somebody else joining in on the phone line. The topic tonight is keeping yourself centered and in balance. So we'll see what Wynn has to say about that, and he will ask also opinion of the audience, to my understanding. I welcome the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location. If you do
Michael,
not
want to, Camino, California.
Hey, Michael, welcome to the call.
Roger was there, too.
Yeah, hi, Roger.
Did I hear Roger?
Roger. Yeah, I'm still here. Yep. Thank you.
Hey, Roger Dodger.
Great. Thank you for being here, Roger. Who else joined in? We welcome you. If you want to, please say your name and location.
This is Chris in Scappoose, Oregon.
Hello, Chris. Welcome back. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Hi, Chris.
All right.
Hi.
Great to have you here.
Thank you.
Hi. There was one person that came in, and I couldn't hear their name. Was it Raider?
Phoenix.
Raiden Knight?
I don't know. I just couldn't hear it.
All right.
Hello?
We had more people join in here in the last minute. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Marshall, Chicago.
Hey, Marshall. Welcome back. How are you?
Doing good. How are you doing tonight, Hayes?
Fantastic. Thank you for being here. And I heard also a lady's voice. Please say your name and location.
This is Bonnie from Clay Island, Washington.
Hi, Bonnie. Welcome. How are you?
Fine. Thank you. It's an honor to be with you.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Hi, Marshall. Hi, Bonnie.
All right.
Hi.
Hi. How you doing?
Crazy as ever.
Hi.
More people joined in. Please say your name and location.
It's Jim, good old Jim, in good old Sedona, wishing every one of my friends a very lovely evening.
You're my second favorite, Jim.
Thank you so much, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, everybody.
Jim, you know who my first favorite Jim was?
Who was that?
My dad.
Jim. Oh, isn't that sweet? I thought Jim Croce.
No, my dad's name was Jim.
Your father's name is Jim? Isn't that sweet?
Yeah, James Leonard was his name.
James, yes, James. That's sweet. Well, is he still with us, or has he passed?
He passed away in 1971.
Oh, very early. Oh, my goodness. My dad passed away in 59, of all. I was only 13 years old.
Yeah, I was 15 when he passed.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. You never forget this as long as you live.
No, you don't.
No.
But I will say this, Jim. He did die with a smile on his face.
So did my uncle. In his coffin, he had a smile, and the undertaker said, "You don't get that way." You know, he actually had a small grin on his face. Very unusual. Very unusual. Goodbye.
All right. We have a few more people joining in here. Welcome to the call. If you have a chance, please say your name and location.
Hi. So this is Greg. I'm on Gonzaga University in Spokane. I'm just anchoring some love light energy for the call here.
Hello, Anna.
All right. Thank you so much
for
being here.
Sure.
Hello, Anna. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, Chris. How you doing, brother?
Hey, Chris.
I hope you feel better than you sound.
Chris, number two.
I'm a little hoarse.
Yeah. All right. I hope this is how things will be here, Chris. Much loving blessings to you, my friend.
Hey, does anybody know what that thing is where, I don't know if it's from a hologram or something, but you make like a two-dimensional print of geometry or something, and then you somehow the print benefits you? I don't know if you just look at it or what. Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
I don't know anything about that.
I'm just letting you know.
No, it isn't ringing a bell to me.
Wind's here.
Can
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello.
Yes, you slip it in the background. We hear you. Hi, Wynn. Back with the call.
Hey, Wynn. Terry here. Hi, Wynn.
No. Hey, Wynn.
I see Terry's in hiding a little bit. I know Terry is here. Hello, Terry.
Hi. Hi,
Terry.
Hello. Thank you so much for...
Terry. Hey, do you guys know, Wynn or Terry, do you guys know what that thing is? I'm not describing it very well, but there's somehow you get a two-dimensional printout from a hologram or something, and it's supposed to be beneficial to look at, or you wear it or something, but print it out on a card. There's a whole
I've heard about that.
Yeah, and you don't know what it's called, do you?
Yeah, no, I don't know what it's called.
You're not talking about the three-dimensional.
Two-dimensional.
No,
it's more like
like they do a printed circuit on a card or something.
Yeah, something. Like it almost looks like a crop circle. I don't know, but maybe crop circle has the same kind of effect. Has the same kind of effect on you.
Sounds interesting.
Okay. So, hey, let's get started. Okay. I mean, we already.
All right. I'm going to finish through the line. Wynn, hold on 1 second.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Yeah.
Let me see how it sounds.
This is April 27th, 2015, and Wynn and Terry in Arizona, and Ty's in Magalia, and everybody everywhere. And I see Michael in L.A. Hi, Michael. Wait a second. We haven't said hello for a while. Can you hear me, Michael? Michael Diaz. Uh-oh. That's what I get. Michael, are you there?
Hey, sorry.
All right.
My phone was on mute. Sorry. Hey, how's it going?
Oh. God, I thought you hated me for a moment.
No.
You know, I have to be careful when I do that, because, you know, if I call somebody unexpectedly, I mean, they could interpret it like I am violating their free will. And they said, I thought I was going to be anonymous. And if you really want to be protected, you can always just listen on the Internet. But it's just that I've gotten to know these people over time, like I know Michael. And he came to, a few years ago, Terry and I were in Los Angeles, and we have a restaurant we will go to. What's it called? Milk and Honey? No, it's not Milk and Honey.
Pandora?
Not Pandora. No. Well, in any case, this is a funny story, and there's a little restaurant in West LA, and it has kind of Jewish food. Okay, and it's in the little Jewish section of L.A., and it happens to be owned by Leah Adler, who happens to be Steven Spielberg's mother, okay? And she opened this restaurant like somewhere when Steven was making his first movie. And she still has it open. And I don't think she's raised her prices in 20 years. It's like she is in there every night. She's this little, she's old, energetic lady who personally greets people, sits down with them oftentimes, and chats with them. She's very, very smart. And she's a delight. And the restaurant is really affordable. And I think she leaves it night, and a limousine picks her up and takes her home. And Gary and I started going in there because we were hoping maybe she'll introduce us to Stephen, or maybe we'll get to tell Stephen about our movie story. But she has an ironclad policy about never, ever, ever telling Stephen anything that comes through the restaurant, because otherwise probably just too many people do that. So a few years ago, we were in L.A., and we just put a notice out to the people in L.A. that Terry and I were having dinner at this restaurant, and anyone that wanted to join us could do it. So I think we had 12 people at there, and I actually videoed it. If you go on YouTube and look up Winfrey, oh God, what will come up? Steven Spielberg, I think that Steven Spielberg's mother, and we just went around and pointed the camera at people at the table. People said things, and then we even called Carla Ruckert up right while we're having dinner, and had Carla say hello to everybody, and Leah, of course, came to the table, and we had a great interchange with her. Let me just see here. Winfrey Steven Spielberg. Let's see if it comes up. If you do Winfrey Steven Spielberg, you'll see a YouTube that says Steven Spielberg's mother, Carla Ruckert, and Tom Cruise. And I just did that on Google. I didn't even go. This was February 26, 2013. And Michael Diaz was there. Michael, are you there on the line still?
I am here. Yeah, I didn't even know you had the movie on YouTube. That's so funny. I'm the second or third person to see in the on the tape.
Let me see how many people viewed that. I don't, there's so many things. Oh, we have 1,500 people that reviewed it, okay? And it's like 6 minutes long, and it's being played in on Stephen's mother. And I don't usually tell people about these things because I don't know how it fits in to everything else we're doing. But I did put it up on YouTube. And if you look it up, Steven Spielberg's mother, Carla Ruckert, Winfrey, okay? And let's see, we had one comment that said 1 year ago, that's it, okay? Let's see, we had 3 likes and no dislikes for that video. But in any case, Michael reminded me because we're all sitting at that table together. If anyone wants to see what Michael looks like, check it out. Okay, Winfrey, Steven Spielberg's mother, it's the third thing down on a Google search, okay? Probably not that many people.
How do they recognize Michael?
I'm wearing a blazer and a t-shirt.
All right.
He's the only one that's handsome at the table. you'll see Leah. She's coming to our table and kibitzing with us and joking with us. And I kept telling her, how do I get to meet Stephen? And she said, well, he comes in for lunch sometimes, and he has star-kissed tuna. So that was a very fun meeting. And Gary Brownlee was there. Gary passed, but he was volunteering. His wife was there. And you'll enjoy that video, I think. And there we go. Thank you. Thank you, Michael, for sharing. Okay? And then, of course, we have the Lighthouse from Pittsburgh. Marilyn Hausman, are you there?
I'm here, Wynn.
How's everything with you?
I'm just beaming love and light throughout the universe.
All right. Okay. And let's see, who else is there? If I don't call on you, don't be mad at me. We have Cecil Sea Serpent there. Let's see. Cecil, are you there?
I'm here.
How's everything?
Everything is wonderful. It's a sunshiny day in Washington State, in Seattle area. Very nice weather here right now.
Okay. Thank you. And, you know, it's so neat because in the context of the law of one, we're actually, I don't know if you guys realize it. I think many of you do. We're actually doing that, you know. We're having a little community. Anyone can be part of that community just by showing up. And I get the most beautiful emails from people who are listening on the internet. You know, we don't know who you are, but we feel your energy. But I think, you know, our sources know who you are because they can personally tap in and kind of greet you energetically. And when they do that, you're not anonymous to them. And I get, you know, emails from people that are listening to us on the interview, listening to us on the internet, whose lives have totally changed. And, you know, when you get to the end of your rope, when you're feeling really stuck, it's like that's the time, particularly if you have a spiritual orientation, that people discover us. And here we are creating this loving group energy that radiates, spreads out, and people are changing their lives. They change their lives. You know, we all want to change our lives, and we think we can do it by willpower, but I can't do it by willpower. But I did make the title today of today's talk of things you can do that, and some of you can share yourself about what you've done, because it's a really valuable thing is knowing how to shift yourself when you're in a negative space. And we all go into negative spaces. Gary does. I do. Everyone. We all get off the flow. And oftentimes, when you get into a negative space, it can hang around for a long time. In fact, it can hang around for years if you let it. And so what can you do to move yourself out of a negative space and change your energy? And so I can tell you some of the things I do, some of the things I have done that I don't do now, but I know they've worked when I've done them, when I needed them. Terry can share some of the things she does, and you guys can share some of the things you do. One of the things, obviously, to move yourself out of a negative space, and of course, you have to work this. I can share it. If it doesn't work for you, it's not the right thing for you. But if you never thought of it, and you try it and it works, it gives you another tool in your toolbox to stay above a lot of the contraction in this realm. So one of the things is to come to these calls. And many of you already know that because you're here. And many of you have discovered it. And many of you have shifted. Sometimes it took a while, but you shifted. Something in you shifted. And your whole quality of life and your experience of yourself turned better. You really knew that you weren't alone and that there were angels, that there are higher forces, and they can greet you energetically. And you've learned not to just have them on this call, but you say, man, they're here during the middle of the day. I can just think of them, and they show up. Somebody sent me an email where they had that exact experience. And so, what's that, Marilyn?
I said, yep.
Yep.
And but so, I didn't know we weren't muted.
Well, everyone's muted but you. I forgot to re-mute you. So, but that was a good yes at the right time.
What you're saying is all true.
You've had that experience. Well, there's people on the line. There's people on the line that haven't had that experience, and they're still struggling. And so, maybe you can share something about how that happened for you.
Me? Oh, what you mean? It happens all the time. The more,
yeah,
it's just. More and more often, and I am starting to, I can just think about it and have it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, the energy is very powerful, and yeah, wonderful.
When you first came on our calls, where were you at in your life?
Probably just like everybody else, going through a lot of unpleasant things, feeling mm-hmm. isolated and, you know, not understood. And but coming to these calls, I mean, I really feel the energy strongly. Very, very strongly,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now it is very it's pretty easy to just think about. I mean, actually, last night when I was going to sleep, my vibration is so much higher, and I can
mm-hmm.
feel, you know, my body vibrating. I mean, a very pleasant vibration, and feels like sometimes being touched on top of my head, and it's
mm-hmm.
wonderful because
right.
I feel like a total outcast and don't have any friends or relatives that I really relate to very well. So it does feel like I know that there are higher beings that are with me. So it makes me feel
mm-hmm.
not so much alone. Yeah.
Well, I think I felt like an outcast a good portion of my life. I know Terry, I don't want to speak for Terry, but I think she did. Terry, did you feel like an outcast?
Well, for the first few years of my life, I didn't feel like an outcast at all. I felt like I really belonged. But then when they put me in a foster home and asked me not to ask any questions, and then put me up for adoption, and then I started to feel like an outcast. And
mm-hmm.
I did some things wrong. Like I didn't understand, like, if I was going to get a playmate, I couldn't just go up to him and say, hey, let's go sliding, and we go sliding, and I'm accused of being the local kidnapper.
I see.
I found out the hard way.
Well, you know, when I was young, I had negative attacks, but I didn't know. You know what? I came in an early reading with Daphne, and I asked them, I said, can you tell me anything about some of my past lives? And they said, well, you know, you've had a lot of, and I asked about a past life with Daphne. And they said, well, you've had a lot of lives where you were an orphan, and you didn't fit in, and you died young. And then, did I have a past life with Daphne? And they said, yes, you and Daphne, she was your helper, and you were a merchant in France in 1600s. And, you know, that didn't sound very interesting compared to what was going on with her this lifetime. And of course, then I had two really exalted lifetimes with her, but they didn't tell me that. And the reason they didn't is because at that time I was a merchant and she was helping me. We were going around, you know, doing shows. You know, it's sometimes people, it's not good to know about an exalted lifetime. And I'm not even sure you can know it for sure until you are stepping into the energy patterns of that lifetime and this lifetime. And you're drawing on the talents that it took to be exalted in the past. Because otherwise, this could be just another orphan lifetime, another lifetime where you die young. But I do know that when I was young, I was discovering negative attacks, but I didn't know they were negative attacks. I didn't have a clue. Because when someone has potential, when someone has the potential to do what we're doing here, I have the idea that the negative keeps an eye on you from the other side to keep you from reaching your potential. And they keep you contracted, and they keep you repeating patterns, and mishaps happen, and you don't understand why. You think, man, the world's against me. So I remember I had this one class in elementary school, and the teacher, I really provoked the teacher. Her name was Mrs. Scott. And there was one day at the end of class that this woman named Cynthia, I remember this very well, Cynthia Stamakin. I hope you're not listening, Cynthia. I couldn't find her hat. And it was cold, and she had a flu. And Mrs. Scott was telling everyone in the room, help look for Cynthia's hat. And everyone was looking for Cynthia's hat, and it was nowhere to be found. And Cynthia was about to have to go home, walk through the cold with her flu, without her hat. And I went to take my coat out of the locker room. You know, I don't, if you know, in our school, they had a little locker, and everyone hung their coats on it. I took my coat, took it off the hook, and lo and behold, Cynthia Stamakin's hat fell on the floor. And it was in the folds of my coat. This teacher already had it out for me, okay? So I said, maybe I should just hide it and not say anything. But I did. I took the hat, I handed it to Mrs. Scott. Mrs. Scott looked at me with daggers in her eyes. There's no way she believed that was an accident and that I was not purposely hiding Sylvia's hat, and I'm just bringing it up at the last minute, okay? And I had a couple of other things like that with Mrs. Scott. So I look back on it, and I say, there were a lot of things in my life that happened that way, where the world was pushing in on me. It seemed like everyone was against me, that I was attracting things. People would steal from me. Oh, and And
same as me.
Who is that, Marilyn?
Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh.
I haven't muted you yet, right?
Okay.
And I mean, I'll tell you, I had spiritual concepts, and I said, oh, you got to be nice to everybody. You got to be loving to everybody, you know. And it's like, I had a lot of beautiful experiences. But I remember one time I took somebody home and gave them they were homeless, and I said, I'm going to put this guy up in my little apartment. And in the morning, they were gone, and so was my guitar. And so it's like you can't just be nice to everybody. Do you know, there's somebody that, I'm not going to say who this was, but somebody we did a reading for a while back ago, and they were having a lot of huge obstacles in their life, and even negative attacks. And what came up in that reading was that they had decided that it was their role to be everybody's friend, everybody's nice person, and they were not going to exclude anybody, and that the negative on the other side and this side had attached himself into the field of that person because they would never say no. They thought being spiritual meant never saying no, and so they left their field wide open, and they were trying to understand why things were going so wrong for them. And when I heard that answer, I could feel the truth of it. I could feel it. And I knew that it fit the pattern. And I think it's not a very unusual pattern. Many of us, when we decide that we're spiritual, we're going to be loving, we forget a couple of things Jesus said. He said, don't throw pearls before swine. He said, you have to be as wise as a serpent. And you do. You do, because otherwise you have no boundaries. Anyone can come into your space, both on this side and the other side, and you will get eaten alive. And some of you know that experience. So it is really important to be discerning and know, have the wisdom to know who you can help and who you can't, and not to let yourself be taken advantage of. Because once you open the door, it's very hard to close it. It's much easier to stay out of something than to get out of it. And many of you know that. I mean, you've been nice to somebody, and you think that you can't understand why they turn on you. Well, one of the things I learned is that if you give something to someone, your friendship, your time, and then you decide it's not right, you take it back, they can't do this, they always get furious with you, okay? And so it's really important to if you do things unconditionally, unconditional love, you can't create that, okay? If you do things and there's no emotional bond, you don't need an emotional bond to be loving. You need to be caring, and you need to give something unconditionally. That's why it's so much easier to give to someone begging on the street than to give something to a friend, because you give it to someone on the street, you'll never see them again. It's free and clear. And if you give it to a friend, they might be back the next day, in the next week and say I need more. Now, you know, it's interesting because at that time of my life, and I was traveling around and playing music and going, you know, traveling through a lot of cities, it was very easy to give love to people because you were passing through. You weren't in your home. Everyone knew it was transitory. And so it was unconditional love was easy. There was no one to come back to and say, I need more, I need more, I need more. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to give more, but it becomes a different kind of relationship because now the other person has an expectation you're going to give to them. And, you know, I'm just looking at this song. I wrote this song in that period of time, and I was, like, feeling this great joy, and it was very innocent, and I was having all these miracles, and I was sleeping in people's couches, and everywhere I went, I was sharing love, and I didn't know that I had the ability to do that at that time. I mean, I was like a physics major, and I ran away from that. And suddenly, ending up at all these cities, doing astrology charts for people, playing music, and I started to realize how unhappy so many people were, and I wanted to fix it. And I wrote a song, which was my attempt to fix it. Well, now I realize, you hear the song, I'm going to play it. I had an innate feeling for group souls. And it's kind of like I was writing a song as if a group soul was working with me. And the beautiful thing with working with group souls is I'm just one little person. And I can't personally love everybody, at least in a personal way. I can love them in a detached way. And I do love you all in a detached way. I mean, I can't be all your friends, even though I could be. If I wasn't so busy and I ran into you, I could be your friend. And Terry could be your friend. But then I couldn't do my highest purpose. But now we got this team on the other side between these two groups. So, and I believe this is true. Too much experience. They can assign somebody to be your energy friend. And it can hold. And I can help open the door. But here's a song I wrote. And I used to have a hard time living up to this song. I didn't like to play it if I wasn't living up to it. Here we go.
I know you've been troubled lately. Wondered just what I could do. I wish I had more time that I could spend with you. Now if I had two of me, I would send one to your door, and I'd stay with you, and I'd hold you close. So you didn't have those blues anymore, and you could wear my smile inside your heart. I would shine inside you when your morning starts. Yes, you could wear my smile. Thank you. world's been going crazy. You're not the only one. But just what can one man do with a world that's coming undone? Now if I had a million of me, I would pass them all around to everyone who would need a friend. I'd turn those frowns upside down, and you could wear my smile inside your heart. I would shine inside you when your morning starts. Yes, you could wear my smile and be happy. If I only had a million of me, but I just have one of me, and I know how to sing a song. So I put my love inside it, and now everyone can sing along, and you can wear my smile inside your heart. I will sing inside you when your morning starts, and if you wear my smile and be happy, then I really would have a million of me.
All right. That was my group soul song that I didn't know about group souls. Okay, now I wanted to give some techniques for getting yourself out of a negative space. And some of these things are really simple. And the first thing is, did you guys ever try to bless a glass of water? If you can, go get a glass of water right now. I'm going to give about 30 seconds, and I'll just talk about it. You know, the energy of your body can transmit through your hands. And if you take a glass of water and put your hands around it, and hold it around the glass, and all you have to do is send love into the water. You could think like the Elohim to bless it, or whoever, God to bless it, but just send loving energy into the water. Let's see how many of you, let's see if anyone did.
All callers are unmuted.
Did anybody get a glass of water?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. I did.
Yeah, I got some.
I did. Yeah.
All right.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
So just take about 30 seconds and let the energy come out of your hands. We do the energy on the Sunday call when we put our hands near each other. And let it flow through the water. And a little longer. And now you get to drink the water. Drink it slowly and see if you can feel the light energy with the water going down into your body. Swish it around in your mouth a little bit. And feel it as it goes down your esophagus, and a little glow that comes up in your tummy.
when you are having a bad day, try that and see if you can help shift the energy. Here's another one. Do you know that everything we do creates tracks in the etheric space around us? I think the name, one of the names for that is called ectoplasms, ectoplasmic field. So it's in our room. It's in our house. And if you've been going through depression and negative space, then what's happening is you're projecting that into your space around you. And it can, the space around you then keeps reiterating the negativity. So if you can break down the ectoplasm, the etheric field in the space of around you, you can have an easier time lifting yourself. And there is a really simple way to do it. And you know what that way is? Light a candle. Candle burns ectoplasm. It changes the energy. Why do you think candles are used in so many religious ceremonies? Why do you think candles are used in romantic restaurants? Why do you think when you have an, you know, the Jewish people have an ark where they keep their religious books, they light a candle. The candle shifts the vibration around it. And try that when you're going through a dark spot. Another thing you can do is put the candle in front of you and stare into it and just ask to have the negative energy burned in the candle. See it leaving you and going into the candle. And some of you will use that technique and find you can shift a negative depression, contraction, place in yourself. And another technique is to get into the habit of calling in the light every day, calling in the frequencies of the higher realms. And I have found, I do this, if I am in a contracted space, and I do that, sometimes it takes me a half an hour. But if I do that, I can shift the energy in my body. I can change the contracted space so that I'm no longer contracted. Maybe I won't go all the way. Maybe I won't be, jumping up and down with joy. But I have shifted my space. And if you get in the habit of doing this every day, and regardless of where you're at, don't wait for a depressed day, just do it. It's like build spiritual muscle. And it gives you, it'll probably result in more uptime. You know, everybody has uptime and downtime. And, if you're doing things in the world, if you have things to do, notice that there's things to do in the downtime, and there's things to do in the uptime. Like, when you're in the downtime, you can do more mundane tasks, tedious things, that just, like, clean the house, whatever. And that'll start shifting the energy just because you're cleaning the house. And when you're in the uptime, that's when you call friends up, call people up, and share your uptime with other people, because then they'll remember you with that. If you share your downtime with other people, you always call people and say, well, it's me, then you'll create an imprint and you'll have anchored your downside with other people. And it'll be more pronounced. You know, you've created a world where everything is really tough and all of that stuff. So learn that when you're in a downtime, do mundane tasks like clean the house. And I have found that when I do that, it actually cheers me up. My energy shifts. And then, of course, I have my little techniques of going to coffee shops. If I have to be creative, I love going to a coffee shop. If I have to write something, if I have to send an email out to the group, I need to detach myself from everything. And for me, going into a public environment helps me to do that. And Terry, are you there, Terry?
Yes.
Now,
I'm here.
Do you have anything to share in this particular topic?
Well, one of the things that I do is I try to get my blood sugar level higher, and that ends up usually cheering me up. I've got kind of a standard that I like to be at where I'm cheery, and I feel really outgoing and good, and I try to get there, but I'm usually there, but if I discover that I'm getting ornery and cranky and everything, I try to get my blood sugar level higher.
Now, to get your blood sugar higher, you need to eat something sweet, right?
Not necessarily. Just like to eat something not sweet, but like it could be a piece of fruit. It could be some vegetables with mayonnaise on them or something.
Now, you know, another thing I do, which I didn't mention, is I will get a massage. In fact, I have all these self-massage devices that, you know, for many years of my life, I was working with this inner contraction that would keep my muscles tight. And I got thumpers and vibrators, God knows what, and I put them on my head, my feet. And I could switch my energies by self-massaging myself. And, oftentimes when I feel that coming on, I ask Terry, and then she'll massage me and help clear the energies. Now, I don't think she needs that as much as I do, but in my particular, I don't think my body type or my whatever, I came into this realm to work out, massage really helps me. And it'll help a lot of people. And if you can't afford to pay for a massage, see if you can find a massage person, a buddy. You massage them and they massage you. Because when your body gets tight, it contracts the energy in your body. It contracts the blood and the flow in your body. And it's like, for me, if I happen to be depressed, it will move me out of being depressed really quickly. So that's another technique that I have for moving myself. Let me see here. Let me open up the lines and see if anyone has something to contribute or something that they do to help shift their energy that we haven't already spoken about. Or if you've done the things we spoke about and you want to share how it worked for you, you can do that. Oh, my God, it's only 2 minutes left. But
all callers are unmuted.
I have a lot to say.
Now, who is that? Is that Bonita?
That is Bonnie from Cleellum, and I have a lot to say.
Okay.
If I'm allowed.
Well, you know what? We're off the air. We're off CBS in about 2 minutes. Why don't you go ahead?
There's a lot of interference of background noise. I don't know where it's coming from.
Well, Bonnie.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
What are you doing?
Bonnie, you got the mic.
Thank you. I want to say, yeah, my name is Bonnie. It's Benita on my bill, on my phone bill. I'll be really quick. One, I want to say that it's very interesting when Wynn was talking about how our lives have changed, and my life has changed dramatically since listening, and I kind of pushed it off and blew it off and all this, but, you know, I was listening here and there and here and there, and the other day, I don't know what's wrong with my cell phone, but it started playing March 22nd, 15, the replay of the, you know, this group. And I'm going like, huh, maybe I should be listening. Tomorrow's Sunday. Maybe I'll listen in. So yesterday I started listening again. And it's just very bizarre, but you know what? I listen to those things when they present themselves. And to this day, I still don't know why my phone did that. Okay, number two, I'm trying to be really quick. The things that I do when I recognize negativity, I try and play uplifting music. I really do. Uplifting music, and that's it. Okay, I'm done.
Thank you so much. I play music, too. You know, I got to tell you that there have been so much phenomena about the way something will start playing on a cell phone. Sometimes my printer turns on and prints something. Early on, in the middle of the night, my printer turned on, and it printed something. I went up, and there was a raw channeling on my printer. And I said, they can do stuff like this. You know, I don't have time to do it today, but next time, maybe on Wednesday, I'll mention this, about this crop circle, that there's a video on YouTube where you can actually see the raw group, I think it's the raw group, creating a crop circle. And, man, they can do amazing things. And I've watched this happen. So in any case, Bonita, thank you so much. I better get off.
It's Bonnie.
PBS.
It's Bonnie. It's
Bonnie.
And there's
Bonnie,
a lot.
Thank you, Bonnie.
You're welcome.
What city are you in, Bonnie?
Cleveland, 90 miles east of Seattle.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, thank you for sharing. I bet there's other people that have things to share. When we do our Wednesday call, if somebody reminds me, I'll open it up for people that wanted to share something that they did that worked for them, that they can share to other people.